This is the Special Security Committee meeting, May 6, 2026. It's 10 a.m. The directions for cellular phones is right there on the top. They need to be silenced. And this is the call to order. Do we have any comments from the public? The first discussion item is the Go Access Team presentation. And we just found out a few minutes ago that Go Access isn't going to make it today. We do need to talk about rescheduling. Brandon has some times that we should talk about. If nobody minds, I'm going to just take a few minutes to go over what's happening with our security money or lack thereof.
Okay, here comes. I think Cecilia will chat about that.
Okay.
Do you want me to talk about the security impact fee or?
That's where, if I can just make a few comments first and then we can go forward with that. At the last board meeting, it was voted on and determined that there would be no monies allotted for security from the budget, that we can only take that 2% increase for security that was put into Measure J, and so we are at a $200,000 shortfall. And we received direction from many different sources. We have Measure J that tells us we can only raise fees 2%, and then we have the grand jury who has recommended in 22-23 that we not give any money to the security budget.
And from the operating
from
reserve.
From the operating, yeah. And so
from property taxes.
From property taxes.
From
property,
yeah, from operating. Those on
The only thing we can do with security is raise it 2% to get money. Raise it 2% a year. That's what the Measure J says. My point being that we're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. And security costs go up every year, of course, and we've been trying to, with Brandon's undying support, trying to keep the 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365. We can't do it with the staff that we have now. We barely do it, and then if anybody goes on vacation or they get sick or they have a family emergency, then there's no patrol. Brandon fills in whenever he can and whenever it's possible, but we are operating on a shoestring, literally a shoestring. One of the good news items is that Mike isn't here. Mike Martell usually comes by, but he brought to our attention the security impact fees, and this is an amount of money that we collect when people get meters. Developers get meters when they put up their houses. So we've been, Cecilia, we've been torturing her on a regular basis. Can we get the numbers? Well, now it looks like we're going to end up having about $135,000.
No.
Isn't that what you told me?
No. That's before the fixed asset spending.
That's what?
So the 130 something that I told you from the last board meeting is before we deduct the fixed asset spending for the past few years. So what we have left.
You can't deduct that from the security impact fees.
Well, if we spend it in a CIP project, then we'll have to spend it down the security impact fee. So if we bought cameras or anything related.
That's what I'm saying is that we have, from what I understand, $138,000. It has to go toward not security people. It has to go towards cameras or
and
that kind of stuff.
But that number, it's before the before the deduction of the cameras and gate.
That number's before what we're requesting.
We don't have 130 something. I want to make sure that you understand that. The 130, it's what's calculated. But I have not factored in the CIP project that was spent in the past 4 years.
That's what I'm talking about right now. If we have $138,000, then there are CIP projects that we can use it for.
What she's saying, though, Linda, is that at her last calculation, she had $138,000 in the positive in that account. However, she has not deducted previous
years.
CIP projects.
Yeah.
So there are CIP projects that are already earmarked for that money
in the past few years.
That she hasn't had the time to do that final calculation to see what's left over in that pot of money.
What are they?
I would have to retrieve all the CIP.
It's nothing that we've talked about in we haven't done anything.
No, this is for the fiscal year 23, 24. I'm sorry. It's in the fiscal year 23, 24, 25, 26. Those I have not done the fixed asset yet, so therefore it's an estimation. When I estimate it, if I deduct those fixed asset on an estimation base, we have about $50,000 left for this budget year.
This coming budget year.
And
that's a good guess.
It's a good guess. That's all we can ask
because you've been working on those past audits, and that's...
Okay, well, then that's the end of that topic.
Well, I mean, if we have $50,000, that's still everything I think that you're looking for.
Not a lot.
Well,
and so
I wish I had understood better that
is there,
what we were operating with.
Is there evidence of security impact fee collection? And is there evidence of the number of homes on which, or meters on which, it has been collected?
So that is another tangled topic that Cecilia has to go all the way back to
2016
to unravel and unwind and see who's paid and who hasn't paid. Part of what happened was at some point before I got here in 2019, that security impact fee of $1,200 fell off that list, or maybe it was never on there, that's on the internet that tells developers and tells everybody in the world how much to pay. Mm-hmm. And as we've had the staff change at the front desk, the person who's been tasked with giving out those meters and collecting those funds, all she's had to work with was that paper that was that forward-facing document. Well, since the $1,200 wasn't on there, some of the developers paid it for their meters and some of them didn't. And so we have to go back. I'm sorry, Cecilia and her team have to go back and reconcile all of those numbers and accounts. And then it adds to this mess that when money came in, it wasn't itemized from developers. So it didn't say, you know, $1,200 goes toward security impact fees, $14,000 goes toward... water, whatever. It was just money for these lots. Maybe it didn't even say the lots. It was just checks that. So the developer deposits, which are the developer impact fees, the
right.
Security, the water augmentation, and all the fees associated with, you know, doing the actual work of hooking up the meter, that has to be totally taken apart like she's done with the audits and all accounting and put back together to see where we wind up. Am I right, Cecilia? Did I express that correctly?
Yes. Where I was trying to go was if we have security impact money, and I was under the impression it was around $138,000, if we have that, then that can cover some of the things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily, it would... help. It would cover Go Access. And Go Access can help us, sadly, but they can help us with their programs to cut back on security staff.
On gate personnel,
gate people,
because they can automate the gates.
They can automate
late
the
late night.
There's a whole
middle of the night hours.
It's a whole long.
So let me okay.
Just let me say two. There's two other things. Lago Gate needs to be fixed, and that's about $7,000.
Yeah, we need to
do that. And then we need the radios. So those were the three things I was hoping to accomplish from that security impact fees. And then the last thing is that work group that we've been having for cameras. And my thought process was if we can get those three things covered, then whatever is left we could use for, we wouldn't want to use all of it. You don't want to use all of it. But we could put toward the camera work the camera process.
So we just went through the CIP projects, And with the $50,000 that you estimated reserve, we allocated $30,000 for Go Access,
okay,
and $5,000 for the radio, which is a lease, and that's it. So, and that will take us down.
Not the gate.
Not the gate, because there's only $15,000 left if we go ahead with the gate. And the gate's
seven, I thought.
Yeah, so that will take us down to $7,000 or $6,000 left with the reserve.
And the $7,000 is for which particular gate?
Just Lago. So I understand.
Three gates. You just told me three gates. I don't know which one.
No,
yeah. Lago.
Lago.
Okay.
So
it's only one gate.
So when you say the Lago gate, you're talking about the entrance where you turn left?
Yeah.
Okay,
the Parkway left gate, the turning.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. And I use it like 1,000 times a year.
Right now it's
so
it's
find, wide open. Find $7,000.
Yeah.
Find $7,000 and fix it. Okay, I don't care where it comes from. And you find $7,000 because someone
is going
to crash into someone else. It's happened. I haven't come close, but I've had people not understanding. Okay, it's counterintuitive when they stop.
Right.
Okay, and then I've made a point since then of physically turning on my blinker. Okay, so they at least know, number one, that I'm there, and number two, that I'm going to turn.
Okay.
Because I've had people come out of that as I was turning, and I've seen it where they've gotten a lot closer than I have. Mm-hmm. So
let's go ahead and get the arrangements made for that, and I will bring
$7,000 and fix it.
Yeah, and we need to not wait until July to fix it after the budget.
Right.
We're just going to do it. I'll put it on the agenda at the board meeting, and we'll just ratify the expense.
So the other
it's an emergency.
I know they're not here, but in round numbers, Go Access or an alternative, are we talking about $30,000?
That's what I've heard, $30,000, because we have to integrate their software and do the whole, you know, changeover. But then it's going to be a monthly fee of $1,800, $2,000 a month. So a couple hundred more than we pay
now. So the first proposal I ever got was from this guy named Cole Butler. It was, I told him all we wanted was the LPR readers at the visitor lanes.
Okay.
And that wasn't going to, like, really automate the thing like we wanted to. The new updated quote is $71,000. And that's to fully automate everything. It's a one-time one-time fee, just like that the first one was. So if we want to go with that, that's what's going to get us into the future to get rid of staff. That's just all there is to it at this point.
So
that's going.
Okay. So maybe RMA, since it benefits their community
so
entirely, maybe they want to consider meeting us halfway.
I had that discussion with Rod. And there was an indication that he felt, and that was at the last president's meeting I went to, that there was some thought that needs to go into a contribution. And that's going to go one of two ways. Okay, there's two things running in parallel here. We've now got a commitment letter that says we're going to enter into some discussions or negotiations.
We have a commitment letter. We have a letter asking them if they will be interested in entering into negotiations.
Well, and I think they're interested because they asked us for the letter.
I'm pretty sure they're interested.
So in the interim, there may be a way to share in this cost. I'm not sure going forward what impact fees, how they relate to the actual implementation of this. You might ask the question, for example, and it doesn't necessarily have to be an impact fee. It could be, for example, if we're going to add 198 houses in total up on residences east and west, and if they're going to have 2.5 cars on average per household, okay, all of that based on the way the extraordinary design of the layout there, all of that traffic is only going to go one way, and that's down Para.
Right.
Okay, it's all going that way.
Right.
So when you take that multiple and you realize the, the impacts of the coming and goings of that additional, whatever that number is, 600 cars, 800 cars, whatever it is, then there may be something over and above a standard impact fee that should be applied to those types of increases in traffic. So that's the second discussion, but the first one would really be, okay, if we want to consider implementation sometime between now and 2 years from now, when there's some form of understanding about where security is going to be, okay, then we need some help.
Yeah.
Or it won't happen. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you went exactly where I wanted to go.
Yes.
The use of security impact fees is written up on our policy, P2016-2, and it pretty clearly states that the fees shall be used to support and improve the provision of security services to the Rancho Murrieta community through the provision of technology facilities, physical assets, and the fundamental goal of protecting the people and property within the district, et cetera, et cetera. Be predominantly used for non-operating expenses with the goals of protecting life safety, life safely, et cetera. So it's in there. That's what we can use it for. There shouldn't be any concern about that. They actually, years ago, did buy a truck. It was stated on here that, I forget exactly where it was, but that we could use it to buy a truck, and they did use it to buy a truck. So
probably that little Ford that's out there.
What's that?
Probably the little Ford that's out there.
Yeah, I don't know. It was 10 years ago. But,
10 yeah, that'd
years.
Be about right.
So I did want to say that $71,000 is more than we thought it was going to be. But that's a one-time fee. And the monthly fees are just a couple hundred dollars than what we're getting from.
Yeah, that, if I remember correctly, it's like $300 or $400 a month. Yeah. More than what we already pay. Yeah.
But all of the things that we're getting.
Hold on.
But wait, there's more.
So that one-time fee, there's that. And then with the new proposal, it raises the monthly cost to $3,000.
Ooh, so it's $1,000 more.
Oh, it doubles the monthly cost.
Yeah, because all the hardware that they're adding in the automatization, there's fees that they're going to charge for that.
But even with the extra fees, once we, get rid of those two midnight gate shift positions, that'll...
So at the...
It'll
pay for itself.
At the improvement committee just now, we went through all the CIP's project, and that was the discussion that maybe, because we don't have enough money in the security impact fee, we should roll out the basic feature first and get it going, and then add in the additional AI and other facial recognition stuff later on. And then at that time, my audit will be done, and I'll have a better idea of what's going on in the security impact fee. And then maybe that collaboration with the other sources can fund the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then there's more analysis that I need to do if we're going to use that go access to replace some of our midnight gate shift, then there's a, I have to redo the budget to see what's the financial impact on that too. So
I guess what I'm feeling a little frustrated about is that we were told we can't have any more money for security from the budget, okay? But security is the number one reason why people move here, not golf.
Yeah,
number one.
I raised that also in the improvement committee,
I'm sure you did.
And I said the business model, it's not working because 2% increase, but all our other costs are increased technology, so it's not balanced out. So both improvement directors said that's a bigger discussion. I agree with you, and we need to make some changes. But
that's
a different topic.
But in the meantime, if we don't, my thought process went to finishing the budget, getting through June, and then start really looking at and go access. We can make a new appointment.
Yes, we'll try and get him in next month.
Well, actually, they could come tomorrow, but I didn't know if that would...
Yeah, the times that they said that they were able to meet is would be 1:15 p.m. today, tomorrow at 9 a.m., and or 1 p.m. tomorrow.
Can they come to the surgery center?
Yeah, I think that this isn't impending doom. Let's just try and do it next month, and then everybody in the community that wants to join in can be here.
Yeah, the improvement committee, you know, because we were holding on that for to decide what goes into the CIP, they also want to hear and listen to that presentation as well, especially Bill.
For Go Access?
Yeah.
Well, then maybe we should have them at the...
At a board meeting.
At the 17-hour-long board meeting that we're planning May 27th.
Oh, no. 17
Yeah,
hours?
You could do that, but it will... Here's what... There's two or three things running in parallel here.
Yeah.
There's this Go Access system that we're contemplating, and one of the things I took away from the meeting I had with Patrick and Rod was that they went to the same meeting Brendan did, and they came back with, Rod said, I went over there all in on Go Access. And there were some other things I saw that I was interested in. So just keep that in mind, because if we're going to go down a parallel track here with them to take this over, then I think it's really critical that there be some common agreement and understanding, even if it's up front, as to what system we select. I'm not advocating for one or the other. I don't even know, other than the brief thing that Brendan reported on, what Go Access does.
He has some.
Okay, but that's one part of the problem. The second part is, if you're going to throw all this out in a presentation and it's going to take more time, you need to find a different alternative than to the 17-hour board meeting.
Because yes.
There's a lot going on.
We've
already pushed that back
is,
1 week.
Yeah,
okay?
It's huge.
So the other part is we're having this discussion here, okay, about, you know, closing down gates from X part of the evening to Y part of the evening. And I think without some preliminary public input.
Absolutely.
You need to take the temperature of the public, because all of the problems that Cecilia is referring to with Measure J and the 2%, we've been down this road. Let me tell you, I've been down this road since 1997, okay, when they used dumb numbers to fund security going forward. Those numbers were trumped up. Okay, they were lowered to make the bond issue more attractive, and the 2% is built on that $667,000 number that started out in 1997.
Right.
So there, you know, and we all understand there doesn't have to be another meeting about why we don't have any security money, because we don't have any security money because, one, the law does not allow it, okay? And number two, because the way the law allows it is with a bond issue, which was heartily rejected by the community before we get light up the internet here, but for a whole number of different reasons, okay? What Linda said is also valid, because 6 or 7 years ago, RMA did the most conclusive study that has ever really been done on community wants and desires, and more importantly, why people live here. And what was good about it was there was 1,100 of the, at the time, 2,000 people, houses.
It's a really
RMA
good survey.
Members.
Really good survey.
Contributed to that study, and they came up with a list of about 7 different categories on why people live here. I can tell you from memory that golf was number 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Security.
Number 1 was security. Okay, so if you're gonna engage in a process that includes a gate, includes a reorganization, includes moving security from CSD to RMA, for which I am very much in favor. Okay? Before you get into those intimate discussions, you need to ask the public what it is they want, and more importantly, what they're willing to pay for.
Right.
Now, we've been through this before where there was a big fight over, we don't want to spend $20,000 up front to do professional analysis on what it is the folks want that live here. You know, we would rather decide amongst ourselves what that is because it's so much cheaper and come up with the wrong answer. So all of that is now condensing into one place where there is going to be finality, one way or the other, or maybe even a third way, is that we keep this and we aggressively pursue a way to fund it, another bond issue. And I was there when we spent the $250,000 to do it last time.
Right, but that was not a bond, though. It was adding a tax.
Yeah, it was a tax. It was a tax, not a bond. I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong term. It was an increase in the 2% tax.
Right, yes.
And that's alternative one. Alternative two is to transfer it. One of those, if we're going to continue to entertain the LAFCO authority to provide security, one of those has to prevail. Mm-hmm. And before we go any further, I'd really like to understand which one of those things it's going to be.
Because which one the
Because we can't go much further without spending money.
No.
And the other part is, you haven't asked, for example, you haven't asked, we're sitting here going, well, if we close the gates from, I'll make it up, 12 midnight to 4 in the morning, hey, we can save all this money. Is that what the people want? What happens when, you know, grandma drives all night and shows up at 2:30 in the morning? What happens?
I hear what you're saying. But we have to know what direction we're going before we decide if we're going to spend money. If we are going to have a survey of the people, then we have to have RMA involved.
Brandon has the answer, some answers or precursors to this Go Access situation. He has, and I think Chris too, both of you have looked at other options. One of the situations that comes up is that what RMA sees as a need doesn't necessarily complement what we leaves out. Brandon, help me with this. What is it? Some of the things you looked at that RMA liked, but didn't fit. Didn't give us reports. It didn't give us a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, like the other platforms that we had seen. Basically, it's tailored around like just the gate entry part of it. There's nothing to do with the security side of it where like, you know, there's report writing and like releasing the stuff to the public. We wouldn't be able to do that no more if we were to go to another platform other than this one. This one does almost everything the same but better.
Mm-hmm.
All the other ones were like for like high-rise communities, industrial security, mm-hmm, and stuff, and you know, gate entries like that. So that's pretty much the main difference.
So you didn't find a complimentary.
This one
program
really tailors everything all around the board for on the HOA side of it and on the
but
security.
But any of the others that you were looking at were not equally competitive, in other words.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of that.
And
go ahead.
Okay. I was pushing this right now for a couple of reasons. One is that I am not going to be available for a couple of months, probably. And so I wanted to get some of this put to bed, if at all possible. I was hoping that by the time we finished the budget and passed everything and voted on everything in June, that we would have have the ability to take some money and start a program, but not without going directly to the community and saying, okay, we don't have any more money. And this is a reality. You're going to have to figure out with us how we're going to fix this. Because you want security. We don't have enough money to man the gates and fund patrol. And if we can't do that on the amount of money that we have to find a compromise. And they may not like the idea that nobody's at the gate between 12 and 7, but that's too bad because that's all we might have. That's the way it's going to go. So I'm not opposed to hearing what the community wants to say. They didn't like a $10 barcode. Part of that problem was because we didn't address whatever their concerns might be up front. But we do have to do that. If we're going to operate, we have to get $200,000 cheaper in doing that. So I don't think that we can really wait 6 months to do this. I think we need to look at it now and start talking to the community about the fact that things are going to change in security.
The other part of this, there's a parallel discussion with what is about to occur at RMA, in that, you know, we have a responsibility, and we tax a significant part of the community that is on the other side of the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. And the alternative to this does not rest solely in the transfer of the inside the gate responsibility,
right,
to RMA. There's a secondary responsibility for providing some security, increased security, private security, some formula that adapts more readily to the other side of the highway. And there needs to be an opportunity for public input that segregates those two entities. I mean, because a lot of what we now are involved in is not of primary concern to RMA. It should be from a community or a lifestyle standpoint, but not from a security standpoint, in that, you know, we have incidences that occur in the shopping center parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
We have shoplifting. We have porch pirating. We have people wandering through the gardens and the village at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in essentially, you know, if you want to talk about Rancho Murrieta and its gated community, like real estate likes to talk about, it's not all gated.
No.
25% of it doesn't have a gate. It's wide open.
Yeah.
So, and on one hand, we have a dialogue going on that we're going to, if you ride a bicycle to the grocery store, you're going to have to key in a code to go back home with the bread. And on the other side of the street was wide open. At 2 o'clock in the morning, we have video of people circulating around.
Sure.
And stealing stuff off
breaking
front porches.
Breaking into the nails.
So,
yeah.
So there is, my point is, there is a global discussion that has to happen before we really crank up and start going in four or five different directions,
mm-hmm,
with this. So,
does it sound like
what I think becomes important is you and
Vicky.
the new GM come up with perhaps what is the best way to understand what the public wants. And I would go back, and I have it, and I'm sure they have it over there. That survey was quite revealing when it was done, and what was really unique about it is the participation rate.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't remember exactly.
Of.
It was like 57%.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, so,
very unusual for Rancho Murrieta.
So anyway, that's enough of that. But that's kind of where I am on this.
Yeah, we have to have a global understanding with RMA and with one with RMA and then another one with everybody out here what they want. So we used to have a joint security committee. Would you like to bring that back up or have
that?
You know,
I know you
want
to have another meeting.
I'd like you guys
yep,
to tell us,
okay,
what you want to do.
So is it like a working group, like the water vision working group kind of thing?
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So right now, Chris and Brandon and Vicky and I will talk about it and see what we come up with.
Okay.
I think we need to be able to give the community a vision of what Go Access would be like. And, you know, the questions, well, first of all, we might not have barcodes. We'd probably have license plate readers. That would be one thing. The other thing is, if grandmother comes at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning and she can't get in, or what was the other one, the food thing? DoorDash, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we deliver hamburgers from, like, Wendy's at 2:30
right
in the morning.
Yeah, so how are they going to get in, or are they going to get in?
Yeah, they're not going to get in.
Well, wait a minute.
But you know how they work? You call the person, and then they answer the phone and buzz you in from their house.
Yeah, and we agree with
not
that.
Not answering the question.
That sounds very simple, doesn't it? It sounds really simple.
Yeah, until we have 30 cars out at the gate.
Okay.
Because so nobody's answering
what I'm
the phone.
Suggesting is that we get a very complete rundown from Go Access as to how their program would fit our needs. Mm-hmm. So that's the first, for me anyways, my in trying to solve this money problem, that's the first thing, is Go Access going to be something that's really going to help us? And
right.
It sounds like it to me right now, and I know there are questions and the community will have questions, but I don't think we should wait. I think we need to start doing something now.
Okay.
Well, I don't necessarily mean allocating the money, but getting ready.
The selection of that system should be a joint process and or a joint venture between the RMA and the CSD.
Great.
It's going to service that isolated area of the community, and you know whether we're in charge of it or not, it needs to fit their needs, or it just makes more work for us.
Exactly. So.
Okay.
So is there a conclusion that we've come to in terms of?
Yes, I have come to a few conclusions. The first of which is to repair the gate on Logo, get it done, and I'll put it on the for ratification at the next meeting. And then as far as Go Access or some kind of security gate system, we need to explore them, continue exploring them, get the one that works best for not only us but for RMA, and work with RMA to work on what's going to work best and then how we can feasibly get it.
I would like to see the Go Access people soon.
I would.
Yeah.
I think I'll have them and maybe another one at the next meeting so that the committee has the opportunity to see some different products. And then we also want to take into consideration the fact that if we go to all license plate readers, Brandon, then we won't need barcodes anymore. Right. And so that's like $8,000. Well, that $8,000 a year we spend on barcodes, we get back because we charge them. Yeah, we
and
charge
then you just
them.
Charge them for activating the license plate.
Yeah, we charge them.
Here's the $8,000.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Where was I? Lost my little
camera working group report.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Or security report, Brandon.
Brandon, you go first.
All right.
You have to calm down.
So all full time security department positions are currently filled. 7 full time gate officers, 6 part time gate officers. 4 full-time patrol officers, 17 employees in total, including 6 probationary employees. Vehicle 53 has been outfitted with security decals to improve visibility within the community. Key services for Marietta Village have officially been discontinued, so they're not locking the clubhouse anymore. Security patrol staff have been trained in the proper use of on-site fuel pump to improve operational efficiency. So we started using the fuel pump right there beyond the gate. They're no longer going to Chevron and paying that $6 a gallon. Mm-hmm. The need for updated gate entry technology has been identified as a priority. Modernizing access control systems would support the community's continued growth and provide operational efficiencies. Specifically, automation during low traffic hours, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., has the potential to reduce manpower demands and operating costs. At this time, fiscal constraints limit the department's ability to pursue new technology upgrades and capital improvements in the upcoming budget cycle. However, modernization of the gate access systems and related infrastructure remains a priority and will be revisited as a future budget conditions allow. The department will continue to evaluate cost-effective solutions and operational efficiencies that align with the current funding levels, while long-term planning efforts remain focused on enhancing service delivery, improving safety outcomes, and supporting the sustainability of Measure J funding. Increased community engagement is recommended to raise awareness of the need for additional security department funding, emphasizing the benefits of improved safety measures and more efficient gate entry process during high traffic periods such as holidays, while maintaining accountability and integrity for non-residents. So basically, I just wanted to make it clear that the need for this technology, it's present. We got 4th of July coming up. We got all the holidays coming up, and it happens every year. And, you know, especially with the way our budget is right now, the technologies is what's going to help us decrease our staff and get into alignment with the Measure J funding. So, I mean, I would like to keep pursuing this and hopefully make some improvements on going with it and figuring out a way to get this, one of these platforms that would work for both us and the association. So if we keep meeting on it or do something that needs to, to come together about it, that's going to improve everything, I think, and it'll get us to where we need to be at. As far as RMA and coordination, we're still doing our traffic enforcements and weekly speed operations and continued participation at the RMA compliance committee meetings. I didn't have any incidents of notes to report for the month of April. It's pretty much a calm month on our side. And attached is our our violation summaries and our gate entries. If there's any questions on it, just as always. That pretty much that right there concludes my report.
Thank you. Okay, the camera working group report. I think I need to back up just a little bit. I am not going to be available for security personnel or the camera work group. I have some medical things to take care of, and so I'm not going to be doing this for a couple of months at least. So this little report was kind of a summary, and in that from the summary, hopefully we can move forward, but I'm just going to go through it. I'll read it. The work group was created to examine the possibility of reinstating the camera program. The group consisted of myself, Linda Butler, Brandon Areno from RMCSD, Chris Smith, and Rod Hart from RMA, and Mike Martell, an informed member of the community and prior RMCSD board member. The work group reviewed the past history of the camera program, which was started in 2021, when Tom Henning was our general manager and Kevin Hubert was the GM at RMA. While some information is available, there is a need to review and answer the following questions, and we started dealing with some of this. How many cameras are there, and who owns them, and who paid for them? When and where were they installed? Who monitors the videos, and how often? How long are they kept, and is there an actual plan somewhere? Going through some of the information that Brandon gave me and Chris gave me, we have 59 cameras that RMA takes care of and probably bought, and then we have 87 cameras that I wouldn't call it overlapping, but it's not just outside of the gate, it's also, or inside the gate, it's also outside the gate. 87 of those cameras placed throughout the district. I jumped ahead here. The proposed budget was $332,000. This is what I found on this page. I guess that was the plan. $332,350. I have no idea where that came from or how we could ever have that much money to do anything, let alone cameras. So I have a big question mark about that. And then initially 32 cameras were envisioned. However, from RMA records, there are 59 cameras placed in the north and south, and RMC did 87 of them. Sergeant Areno was able to locate invoices from Watchdog totaling $66,412. And there are placement maps, and I didn't include this, but probably should have in the packet. But Chris...
No, we probably don't want to put that in the packet where all our cameras are, because the bad guys would like to know that.
I'm not worried about that. You cannot put them in the packet. It's okay. It's fine. But
okay, yeah.
But need to talk about it. Their locations are interesting, let me put it that way. primarily a few at Riverview Park, a few at the pedestrian bridge, Stonehouse Park and the maintenance yard got most of them. Lake Clementia has five. I don't know, frankly, exactly where any of them are. And then we had, CSD has the lift station, the obvious places, the office, the gates, our plants, et cetera. So we have all these cameras, and I have so many questions about how we're tracking. Are we watching any of the videos? You know, all of those things that were theoretically, anyways, in the plan in the beginning, if there was a plan. And we need to start over. The information that we have is limited and difficult to track. Untangling the process seems kind of futile at this point, and moving forward seems like a better course of action. The work group agrees that the cameras are an effective way of deterring crime and aiding security. Given the current status of the security budget, cameras may also be a cost-effective way to approach some of our security issues. However, this project has become more complex. We will need re-examination of existing cameras. Are they functioning, and where are they placed? Are their placements significant? There has been considerable new technology, such as cameras that not only aid in security but are heat-sensitive and can aid in fire detection. We need to take the following steps. Enlist the help of a professional or professionals to assist us in moving forward. Can we integrate new technology with existing systems and cameras? Will ARM, CSD, and RMA be able to work effectively with each other? And then we need to determine the costs of making all that happen. So, and then I talked a little bit about security impact fees. When I was delusional and thought we had $138,000, I thought if we spent 50 or 60 of that on the CIP projects that we wanted to accomplish, that we would have money left over to work on the camera program. But that doesn't seem to be the case at this point anyways. So I have not scheduled another meeting, and I think probably going forward with the camera program would be the second thing to do after we get a security.
The gates.
Well, I'm thinking in terms of work that can be done in case we ever have any money. and it would be good anyways to figure out which of these cameras and their placements are useful. Are they doing the kind of job that they wanted to do? And how would the technology be able to incorporate what we have with what we might need?
Right.
So I think that joint security
committee,
I think that would be a good idea. And I think that Brandon should certainly be involved in that with Chris and RMA and CSD.
Yes. And so I did want to bring your attention, Linda, to policy 2021-05. That's the security camera policy, and it talks about how long we're going to keep the for surveillance video, who gets it, what they have to do to ask for it.
Oh, right. We went.
Yeah, so we have that. We have one for, I think it's 2020, we had one for the body cameras.
Uh-huh.
And then this one talks about all of our surveillance
cameras. And when was it done?
2021.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm glad we have a policy.
One big step,
that's
right?
And I'd like to see it. Thank you, Amelia.
Let me send it to you right away.
Sure. So that's a start. But putting all the pieces together, I guess, is what I'm looking at. It seems a shame to have spent money. How much, we're not really quite sure. But to have spent money on cameras and placement and this project and then not have it be performing the way or addressing the kinds of issues that we need taken care of.
Yes.
I hate to see that money wasted. So, anyway, I do believe that going forward, we need some professional help in looking at where they are and what they do and what we need them to do and all that kind of stuff. So,
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh,
I think that's it.
Well, director comments. I have a couple.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the questions, there's a couple questions here that relate to cameras et al. If we transfer security to RMA as part of this end game, and you know, we don't have no idea what that timeline might be. I would ask, the first question I would ask is what is the future of the security impact fee if we no longer control security?
Okay.
It may be a moot point, and yeah, it may be revenue, and you know, this goes back, I can relate this back to 1986 if you'd like. But that's one issue, and the other issue is a discussion about what happens to the tax or security fee for undeveloped property. And one of the reasons that security wound up at CSD from the very beginning, it started at RMA. The fact that there was developer pushback on the excessive fees in their mind that were charged to them on, at the time, was a much larger piece of undeveloped property.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was, well, if you put this in the CSD toolbox, they have the hammer to collect it, because if they don't pay it, you turn off their water. Okay, that was really the sole reason that it wound up over here to begin with. So all of those revenue transfers or revenue deletions that will happen as a result of this kind of a transfer have to be factored into the cost, or there has to be an alternative source of revenue or a new revenue stream developed to accommodate it. Those are big front-end questions that have to be part of a preliminary discussion. I mean, it's kind of like the club issues where, you know, you're talking about revitalizing a country club, and somebody wants to know, will we still have karaoke on Wednesday night?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the first question we need to ask.
That's right.
Okay, but there's a bunch of stuff that I intend to give RMA up front. Number one, it's all public access.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, as I understand it, a contention that last time during these discussions they, quote, didn't have enough information. I don't know if that's true or not.
At any rate,
there's... They already have budgets from the last 2 years. They have actual figures, mm-hmm, on this year's budget. That's a start. There's questions as to what fixed assets are involved in this. You know, we own a South Gate.
Mm-hmm. We own the trucks.
There's North Gate equipment we own that we bought that's inside,
yeah,
the North Gate. There's a electric bill that we pay that's
for
inside
them.
The North Gate. How we pay that, I have no idea.
We own two trucks doesn't want.
There's swap opportunities, because there's no way we physically say, well, here, you can have those, because we create a gift to public funds.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do that. This is, from our standpoint, an asset sale. I mean, we're not, you know, we don't know what the concept becomes after RMA takes over the process and begins to implement it in the way that best suits their needs. So I think in the end, there are specific problems that we need to address, and they are not, what do we do between 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the morning, or how many people are on patrol in any given time, and what's the mix between compliance and security, and how does that blend together or not blend together. those going forward will not be our problem. Once we transfer an existing system, how that gets modified is really up to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the front-end problems, dealing with taxes, dealing with revenue, dealing with assets, dealing with employees, dealing with employees in PERS that are vested or not vested, all of these conditions are the first things that we need to resolve. And then, you know, the working process going forward on how they calculate how much it will cost them to do what they want to do really becomes their responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it allows for a rather concise conversation, because this is only one segment of the community and every bit of it is contained inside the gates.
Yes.
So in concept, I think that's where we are, and I just wanted to put that out front before we get started with any of this, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
From
my perspective, I guess, it's always been difficult for the community inside the gates to understand or accept the fact that this is a district. It's the whole district. And so we don't just service behind the gates. We have a responsibility to the commercial center, to the gardens, to the village. And granted, it's quite minimal. What happens to them? And that's the part that I've never gotten a clear answer from. We stopped collecting money for Measure J, and we're going to give it to RMA, and they can collect the money, and then what happens to the rest of it? Because it's a district situation. It's like taking a homeowners association behind gates that are in a city. This is an unincorporated city, more or less, and so... anyways, that to me is one of the bigger questions that needs to be answered, is how do we divvy this up? Do we divvy it up? That's it.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure that that we're in a point now with the, you know, thanks to Cecilia and what we've been able to accomplish this year, that we can give them reasonably accurate data.
Very accurate.
As to where the revenue is and what the tax is and what amount of money is here that can be absorbed in the dues at RMA that now is put on the CSD bill.
Yeah, so, and how much we pay
whatever you guys want.
Yeah.
We're gonna give it to you in spades.
With a bow.
That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So I think I run off at the mouth enough. Yeah. Those are all my comments that we've heard. So the meeting is adjourned.
So at the next meeting, I'll be completely capable of reading what's actually on that.
Yay! Board. Okay, awesome.